Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
When I was young, I knew something was wrong. My mother would forget to pick me up from school.
Drugs and alcohol may make you forget your problems.
My mother got help, and because of recovery, she is here for me.
Hi, Mom.
You ready?
Let's go.
For drug and alcohol treatment for you or someone you love, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, folks. It's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up. Speak out and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimke Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
living life.
That's what we're here to do, to support you in swallowing your fears. Swallow it, digest it, take out what you need, and eliminate what you don't. You get to choose. State of man. Swallow your fears. Today is the day for transformation. Today is the day to meet yourself in a whole new way. Don't run from your fears. Just sit with it. Say, you know, I've been running all along. What is it? What makes you so powerful? And your fear will look at you and say, I don't know. I haven't been chasing you. You just kept running. I wondered why. And then you go to a place where you're saying, really? You haven't been chasing me, so what have I been running from? Fear says, I don't know. And then you can relax. You can take a breath. And then the mind says, oh, my God, what have I been missing? I've been fearful all along. I must have been missing something. But it's too late. Because it's in the past. Come to this present moment and embrace all that this time has for you. It's all part of life, you know. Two emotions, fear and love. Everything else is just, you know, they're just franchised. Franchised emotions. Fear and love, they're the original OG. The original God. Well, actually, they all call fear that. But, you know, I can't actually do that because God is energy. God is a vibration. But the highest form of God in action is love. But when that vibration, when that energy is moving kind of like this, I hate my job, people get on my nerves, I'm afraid I'm gonna die. But you know what? I'm very passionate. I love my life. Things are messed up right now, but I am thankful. See, we just went through the emotions of fear and love. Fear is very heavy. Makes you not want to get out of bed, blame everybody. But love is just contagious, even fear too. But there's something about the high energy. When you're in the zone, when you're doing what you're here to do, you fear, you're like, fear where? What fear are you talking about? But we're here to remember that. We're here to teach that. We're here to allow that. So wherever you are right now, take a breath and tell yourself, it is what it is. It's not good. It's not bad. It's not frustrating. It's not annoying. It's not great. It's not exciting. It is what it is. Swallow your fears. State of man. To find out more about them, their website address is stateofmanmusic.com. stateofmanmusic.com. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. Simply for being alive. Simply for being, you make a difference. Right now, you make a difference. You're showing up as God in action. You showing up as a rebel, saying, I am not going to settle for less because I know that I am so much more. And every time you do that, every time you take a stand in your life, every time you say, I have a stake in my transformation, you cause a ripple of love, of transformation to go out into the world and other people catch it. So you're making a difference right now. Welcome home. Welcome home to yourself. Welcome home to Life Conversations Radio. Welcome home to where love resides, because you are it. And you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. And we are here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. That's right, Monday to Wednesday, 3 days a week now. No more 4 days a week shows anyway, as far as I know. And we're here 12 to 2 p.m., as I said, and all the shows are archived. You can subscribe to iTunes so you can get regular downloads of the shows. Just subscribe to Life Conversations, not Ad Radio, Life Conversations. And speaking of other good stuff that's happening. The Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show is also syndicated on Within Radio. It's all about taking you within, because that's where all the answer is. And to find out more about the syndication, the show actually is at what time? 8 p.m. Eastern. 8 p.m. Eastern on Within Radio. And to find out more about it, you can go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Inspirebroadcasting.com. Exhale. Inspire and expire. Inspire and release. Breathe in God and breathe out God. Our theme for this month is living the vision for your life. Living the vision for your life. You are here to deliver a package. You are the mail person. What have you got to deliver? We're waiting. Waiting patiently. Hurry up and deliver the gift. But you ain't going nowhere until it's delivered. Oh, no, you ain't. Because even if you think you can't deliver it, or you're not ready to deliver it, you don't have enough money or old enough to, well, all these stories you tell yourself, you will come back. So you ain't complete until it's delivered. Life is good. It's getting better. So we want to support you in living the vision for your life. I posted a video today, a YouTube clip on my wall on Facebook. I invite you to check it, especially, particularly, I mean, both of them, but the three-minute one, well, no, it's not 3 minutes. It's longer than that, actually. But it's the one with Greg Braden. Now, the topic or the title of the video says Cure All Illnesses in 3 Minutes, Spread Love, Not Hate. But it's a little bit more than that. Like, rather than waiting for healing, rather than waiting for time for something to happen, accept it. Become what you desire now. Get into the feelings. Get into the transformation. Check out the video, and you can get more and just transform your life right now and have yourself experience a miracle. I think that's the announcement. No, it's not. The number is 347. You know that. I'll just check that. 347-426-3346. And I am your host, Life Coach Ade. I am here to support you in your transformation. And today I just wanna double your money. we wanna give you two for the price of none. I got my brother back, Makua Ray. He was here about 2 weeks ago or something like that. Was it this September 26th or 25th, somewhere around there? Yeah, I think it was like on a Tuesday, something like that. I don't know. Who's counting time? Who cares? He was here a few minutes ago. Now he's back in this moment. And he was sharing so much with us. I just like so fair that I feel like we can go deeper. But today we got time. And we may even do, well, he might do some, what is that thing that he calls in the game? He goes, yeah, Galactic Signature Reading. If you really want to know who you're being, what you step, what's the sign of the nature signature? What's your sign of the nature? So we know who you are, but what's your sign? How do we recognize you? For me, I'm about catalyzing. I'm about transforming. I'm about being the reason for you changing. So if you listen to me, you're going to change. And Makua Ray is going to be joining us real soon. Ask Life Coach Ade fan page is a fan page, like page. You can post your questions. If you can't call in, don't want to call in, Ask Life Coach at a fan page. Or if you don't want to really do that, you're not really feeling Mark like that, you can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. Lifeconversationsmedia.com. Hover on the, what is it, on the Life Conversations Radio menu, and then there's a drop menu that says Ask Life Coach Ade. There you have it. Around one, we have Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. Woohoo! Go, Celeste, go! Work it out. I think we're ready. So, as you know, I always listen to guidance. So we're going to play a little bit of something. Because today, we're simply demystifying the fear around December 21st, 2012. We're going to be talking about the galactic cycles. We're going to be talking about it, 3 days of darkness. But more, one of the things we really want to talk about today is really what we can do, how to ground ourselves, how to raise our vibration, and how to be the light in the midst of darkness. You are the light. Don't be afraid of the dark. Swallow your fears and play a little bit of Ricky Byers Beckwith Everywhere I Am, and then I'll bring on McCool Ray. This is Everywhere I Am, Ricky Byers Beckwith. I am in the light, I am in the darkness. So don't be afraid of the darkness. Don't be afraid of the light. God is right there. We'll be right back. Yes, I am in the highest. I am in the very low. When you are depressed, God is there. When you are expressing, God is there. When you're operating in a fear consciousness, God is there. When you are loving, that you don't even, you become one with everything, God is there. Everywhere I am, Ricky Byers Beckwith. Her website address is We. Let it be. Let God be. Let love be. Let yourself be. Relax. It's time to bring on my brother, who is waiting in line. He's, you know, like kind of like the gymnast. You know, they put powder on their hands. They blow on their hands. You know, he's meditating, grounded. He just used some sage and clear the energy. And he is ready for us, and I am so grateful. So let's get ready to shine the light even brighter with my brother, McCool Ray. But I want to just read a little bit about him, and for those of you who don't know, McCool Ray is an accomplished poet, singer, songwriter, pianist, composer and music producer with a strong affinity for the transformative in effect of sound vibration. That's his passion. He's a youth advocate, chief educator, and he's all about celebrating the consciousness of community. Let's come together and unite. Why? Because we are one. Why? Because we need each other. And he said, yes, here I am, Lord. Use me. I am willing. I am able. I can. I will. I say yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my friend, my brother, my guest, myself, Mukua Ray. He is in the house. What's going on, my brother? Well, actually, he was in the house. Oh, there he is. Oh, come on now, computer, stop acting up. I'm not afraid. I knew he was there. I need some sage, my brother. Give me some sage. Pass that over here.
Hey. I'm burning it for you, Baba.
thank you.
Doing well.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm so grateful to have you back and to continue the conversation and for you to share and download any new awareness, new insight that you've caught since the last show on the last minute. So we're going to jump into it right now. And I want to ask you one of the most important questions I'm going to ask you right now. Who are you? Who is Mukua Ray?
Wow. Well, the I Am. You know, that song really eloquently put it, you know. The I Am that's in the darkness, it's in the light, it's everywhere all at once, really and truly. Yeah. And I think you touched on it as well at the top of the show, the presence, the vibration of love, you know. And even when we're not necessarily feeling it in its entirety,
yeah,
it's the idea that we assume that yet and still, because it is the truth.
Yeah.
No matter the ebb and flow that we all may experience, it is the truth.
A new thought. A new thought is called denial. There's affirmation. There's denial. You deny that even though I'm feeling fearful, love is the truth of my identity. You deny the
that's
fear
right.
and remind yourself consciously that you are
that's
love,
right.
and that's the truth. That's what today's show is about. And just before we jump into our conversation, I want to just. I don't do shout-outs, so I won't do shout-outs. Because if we did, I'll send a shout-out for Saggy, Cheryl, Nahali, Sylvia, Tamara, Joy. We've got Glenda in the house. We've got Lori in the house. We've got Delisha in the house. Who else? We've got some other folks on the phone line that don't recognize their number. But, you know, we are one, and I thank you all for joining us. And the silent listeners, this guy's his guest. And this is your moment to share the show as we get ready to demystify all the fear around 2012, December 21st, and everything else and beyond, because there's so much more. This is a time for us to, you know, to know, not just think and believe that we are love, as we're talking about Mukua Ray, but to really know that we become, we experience what love is. And I think that's the challenge sometimes. We're afraid that, well, what if we're wrong? But today's show is helping ourselves recognize that you can never be wrong. You were good and very good, and you were always right. Oh, my brother, you know, before
yes.
I write a question to you, I'm just going to throw it to you. Is there anything else bubbling up for you right now?
Well, what comes up for me in the question of 2012 has a lot to do with what I've come to understand are the differences on who's telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning the story of December 21st, 2012 has been in some ways co-opted. It's been told by different sources that have a variety of intentions, you know, ranging from attempting to control people even more than they already do, or on to those who truly want to help aid in the liberation and the evolution.
Right.
And it's an opportunity not to be missed due to misinterpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that to say that, you know, that when we consider the Maya, the people known as the so-called Maya, you know, we have to understand that they had their version of the story based upon their calculations, based upon their galactic orientation to time. And then their culture became essentially in many ways consumed by cultures that would come in and arrive even hundreds of years after and took the story, you know, that they may have told, but then added their own qualities to it, some of which is very dark, very fear-based, very much a talk of cataclysm and things like this, when in fact the original storytellers didn't have that as a part of their story, you see. So what does occur to me, you know, when you ask me, you know, what's bubbling up in me, it's just really to encourage people to accept, to recognize, to do their own inner research, if you will, and then also, you know, their research in the world to come to terms with what has happened time and time again when the stories have been, you know, taken from those who originally told them and then retold by somebody else who's added their own spin. You know, it happens all the time in the contemporary media. This is a part of news media and the, you know, the, how do you say, sensationalism of stories. You know, that's why when we look at the news media, what we predominantly see in popular media, commercial media, are stories about violence and fear. Well, that has a vibrational effect on the recipient. It's a very constricting effect. So in a similar way, because this story is so enormous, the end of a 5,125-year cycle, that's a big story. I mean, when we really consider history, this is the end of history, so to speak, in the sense that there's a new story to be told. And we're actually part of those who are here to tell it. We're here to help co-create the story as we would like to see it manifest. So I say that to say that we have the opportunity to really connect into the highest positive force that we can imagine, that we can fathom, even in the face of what would appear to be destabilizing and disintegrating and constricting. Even in the face of that, we're challenged to see through and beyond that and actually put our own creative and positive spin to this story, because it's not a completely written story. It's being written by us, you see. And that's the opportunity before us. Now, we have to recognize that it's a matter of who controls our brains, who controls our thinking, you know? And that's what a show like this helps us to do, is to regain consciousness.
I love that. To put us
back in the navigation seat of our lives and not be navigated by these fearful pulses and sound bites through popular media or through an sundry of conspiracy websites and cataclysmic, you know, chat groups and stuff like this. We're so overloaded with information that we have to at some point be still and know who we are.
Yes.
And it's not necessarily going to be the case that we're going to find it through the predominant forms of media that exist, where the populace tends to get its information from. That's why the populace continues to be disconnected from the broader reality, the galactic reality even.
Yes.
You know, so, so it's an amazing opportunity we have, and it's certainly not to be missed. And that is part of the challenge of these times. It is an initiation of sorts.
It is indeed. You know, there's so much in what you just said, and you talk about an initiation, and I like to look at it as like, you know, it's like a woman giving birth. There's contractions, there's pain, you know. Sometimes she's just like, she just want to punch somebody, and some pain that just, you can't even explain. And we are going through that birthing process. But on the other side, when she gives birth to the child, she forgets the pain. She's looking at this new life and saying how beautiful the child is. And if we can just keep breathing and pushing, and sometimes we might say we can't do this, but trust in the process, you know. And so we're being initiated and we're being rebirthed by the real birther that lives as you and through you. So it's about recognizing. You talked about storytelling. or the stories that are being told, for me, I think it's important for us all to always ask ourselves when we're hearing somebody tell a story, whatever the story is, it could be a commercial, it could be whatever it is, it's a story. What is the intent of the storyteller? What is their understanding about who and what you are? And if the story is causing you to be afraid, to be fearful, then you may want to go to another storyteller because it's really important. It is really important to know the intent of the storyteller. We do it in our lives when we're telling a story and we're telling somebody something that happened and, you know, they're not really reacting and we're trying to dramatize it and exaggerate it. And sometimes they're like, okay, so what's funny about that? And then we go, you know, when we've exhausted everything, we say, well, I guess it's one of those things you have to be there. I'm like, yeah, I guess I should have been there. So for some of us, we're like, okay, they're telling us a story and we're fearful, but it's important for us to say, nah, I don't get it. I don't subscribe to that. I don't subscribe to that because there's so much more, and it's about understanding. Now, we talked a lot about the galactic cycle, and I really want us to talk about that some more. And how, you know, an understanding of that, because you mentioned as well, for those who didn't hear the first show, let's talk a little bit about the galactic cycles.
Okay, so when we hear people speak of the end of the Mayan calendar, what is actually being indicated there is the completion of particular cycles. There are several cycles, in fact, that are actually being completed at this time, specifically on the upcoming winter solstice, December 21st. So the galactic cycles relate different numerical or mathematical cycles that the ancient ones observed. And the initial one, known as the Mayan calendar most popularly, is a 5,125-year cycle that ranges from 3113 BC to 2012 AD. And you have different calendars that are functioning all together. So you have one referred to as the long count, which is a total, and it's literally a long count. It's a count from essentially point A to point B. So point A starting back in 3113 BC to point B, its completion in 2012 AD, is a sequence of 1,872,000 days. That's one of the such cycles that's actually being completed. Then you have the larger cycle on top of that, or in addition to that, which is essentially a 25,625-year cycle. This relates in some ways to the precession of the equinoxes, which we understand for those that understand Western astrology, when we move from one age to the next, for example.
Right.
So the idea being here that we're moving from the Piscean age to the Aquarian age. So the shift also indicates what we've been preparing for as this shift from the Piscean age to the Aquarian age, which is indicated as the completion of these broader cycles. Now, those cycle from like the Piscean to the Aquarian is only a couple of thousand years, but when you factor that by 12 houses of the zodiac, you get a broader, nearly 26,000 year cycle. And then on top of that, it is talked about there being another larger cycle that's like a 102,000 year cycle that is another such galactic cycle. And what these galactic cycles indicate is they indicate periods where there will be leaps in evolution, leaps in evolution, evolution in consciousness. So what we're experiencing now, and many people out there listening are experiencing it in their own way, in your own way, is absolutely valid. We have to also really at this time learn to trust ourselves and not doubt the changes we feel happening. Don't second guess it. But a lot of the changes are indicated as a change from the sort of notion of separation, returning to an awareness of interconnection, of everything actually being as one. That is one expression of the evolutionary leap. And there are countless expressions, as there are billions of people through which these evolutionary impulses are being experienced. Now, as a collective consciousness, there is a broader implication here that we're actually making a shift as one, as a collective mm-hmm. body, you know, and that is also one of the things being indicated at this time, one of the significant shifts. I mean, we've lived in a world, particularly in the past 150 years, where there's been just an increase. Violence has been prevalent throughout the course of history. But we also have to understand that history is a particular sequence. It's a particular phase of events. Violence has increased more and more, particularly up until the past 100 years. There's been an increase in this violence worldwide and all types mm-hmm. of violence. Now, we're shifting out of that tendency. Violence is like an addiction. And now the universe is actually helping us wean off of that addiction so we can actually live and thrive and evolve without the need to separate or project violently onto others, including ourselves, mm-hmm. that we're actually moving to a place now where we have the permission to stand in love. Now, the thing is, it's not going to happen without our individual and concerted effort. That's a part right. of the initiation. Can we actually work this thing out together? Can we go beyond the identification of nation states, even ethnic groups? Can we go beyond that and recognize the spirit and the force of love that animates all of us? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that everybody's vibrating to that force, although that force is there. And can we help each other see it even when we ourselves don't see it?
Right. Right.
Because it's all a collective experience right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is mm-hmm. why the phenomena of the internet is an interesting thing to accompany this leap in evolution. You see, if we really think about it, the internet as we know it has relatively only it's been around for essentially less than 20 years. Less than mm-hmm. 20 years. We need to think for a moment. How much a part of our lives has it become? How connected has it allowed us to become around the world where before we could barely fathom, you know, maybe having a pen pal or something. I remember in elementary school, it was a really big deal to have a pen pal somewhere in another part of the world. But mm-hmm. now we can be on Skype. We can be on the internet and communicate mm-hmm. with people pretty much mm-hmm. anywhere,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
In a moment's notice. This is yes. another indicator of the evolutionary thrust toward
yes.
oneness. Oneness
right.
is the key here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what this is what these galactic cycles are pointing toward, the time when the planet itself would become conscious.
Mm.
There's an understanding of something called the noosphere, or the mind of Earth, the mental sheath that surrounds the planet. That's another aspect of something happening at this time, and what it indicates is that the planet has been unconscious and it's waking up. It's waking mm. up, and as it wakes up, it's not waking up separate from us. We're actually helping to cause its awakening
yes.
while it's helping to foster our
yes.
awakening. It's a mutual relationship.
Yes, yes, yes. So we don't invest in numbing ourselves, become part of the waking up process. Now, you said something, you just stuck with me, and you just, I don't know how, I want to hear your thoughts on this. You know, when you talk about the Western astrology, I've heard that Pisces, people who are Pisces, are prone to addiction. So either they're addicted to drugs, alcohol, or sometimes they're addicted to working hard. They're addicted to even what society calls good, but they're prone to it. And you said violence is an addiction and we're moving from that. Do you think there's a correlation between the fact that we're in the Piscean age and the addiction?
I mean, it very well could be, you know. I mean, each of these ages have their own quality, their own color, if you will.
Yes, yes.
So I'm sure that this past couple of thousand years
mm-hmm.
has, you know, referred to as the Piscean age, it has
mm-hmm.
its own quality And that, you know, may very well include that tendency to addiction. Now, in some interpretations, you know, it's interesting because there are different interpretations from different teachers, different sciences that, you know, say, well, we're going into the Aquarian age from the Piscean age. And then you have others who say, well, we're coming to the Aquarian age from the other direction. So it's a lot, and this is what I mean. There's so much information. But like you said before, how does the information actually make you feel?
Yes.
If it is making you feel fearful, then you owe it to yourself to saying, hey, you know what? That's not my reality. And that's the power of choice that we have right now. That's what we want to really move into. But you're right. I mean, there certainly could be a correlation there with the Piscean tendency to addiction, if there's a proneness to addiction in that sense, and the violence that is essentially overrun us. I mean, it's not just geopolitical violence. It's interpersonal violence. It's the violence within myself where I think violent or negative thoughts that are unreal.
Yes, indeed.
Toward or about myself, you know. And that's the place we need to really recognize. In the Course of Miracles, it talks about when one of us are healed, all of us are healed.
Yes.
And I really feel that that could not be more true than it is now. Because there's such a broad stroke effect for the smallest things right now. One loving thought. It's said as a Native American statement that one sincere prayer has more power than an atomic bomb. Because the universe is working with us right now to magnify the truth. Now, truth can be very subjective. That's the tricky thing here, okay? Because, you know, if somebody intends or insists on holding on to a violent or negative thought, they have to accept responsibility for the outcome.
Yes.
There's no getting around that. And I think that that's a part of the awakening as well. We're awakening to the reality that we have a direct effect on the fabric of creation by our very thoughts alone. That is why this time is so significant. Now, it is the end of the world as we have known it to be. And that's something to celebrate, because the way things have been across the planet, we can all look and we can all see, whether on the microcosm or the macrocosmic level, things have been completely, you know, ridiculous the world over. We're being given this opportunity to rewrite the story. We are the authors, you know, and this is something not to diminish at all. You know, each of us have the creative potency within us.
Right.
With that, we have the responsibility as well.
We certainly do.
Something to find encouragement in, though. It's something to be encouraged by, not discouraged.
You know, it's like I don't know where, you know, I haven't spoken to all my listeners, but for those who are maybe afraid of the future, I think just take yourself back. Go do, be a scientist. Be your own life scientist. And kind of think of all the madness and the thoughts and the fear around Y2K. Oh, my God, the computer's going to stop working, and I'm moving to Africa. I'm moving to another country. It's like, you know, first of all, if that actually happened and someone is invested in so much in teaching fear, they're going to take that fear consciousness with them. So even if they went to a land that's pure, they're going to contaminate that place with their fear consciousness. There's so much that we don't understand with the physical mind, the human mind. And it's about listening. And as you're talking about us waking up, we get to become aware. Now,
We're talking about a wake-up or waking-up process, but before we do that, I want to invite listeners to join the conversation. Number 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. My guest is McCool Ray. He is a lover of life, and he says yes to life, to God, to whatever God is asking him to do. He says, here I am. I'm ready to be the catalyst. We're demystifying the fear around December 21st, 2012. We're supporting you in living your vision and showing up and delivering your gift. It's time to wake up. You're awake. How do I know you're here? So join the conversation, 347-426-3346, and post your questions on the Ask Life Coach at a fan page, like page. Or go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com, hover on the Life Conversations radio menu, and then click that, and then you see Ask Life Coach at a fit, send in an email. Now, McCoury, let's talk a little bit about the waking up process, because there's some fine prints to when we wake up, to when we wake up when we are aware. There's some people who think waking up or awakening is about love and unity, and you feel no more pain, and you will feel this and that. And I don't say it's not, but the waking up process also means you wake up to see things that you've ignored in self and around you. It's about waking up to the illusion, because when you wake up, you're aware. So we start to see things about who we are sometimes that we got to work through. And you also talk about race. I mean, there's so many places we can go with this. But can we talk about that waking up process? Because the waking up process doesn't necessarily just mean you're going to be able to turn water to wine. Sometimes you might find out that you don't have a glass or a bottle to pour the wine into. And as a matter of fact, you don't even have the money because you've been unconscious. So let's talk about the waking up process and how people can embrace the waking up process and not be afraid, because some people think, I'm meditating, I'm doing this, but it looks like I'm sick and I'm losing friends. This is not supposed to happen. So what's your take on that, the waking up process?
Well, I really appreciate the way you put that it does include a greater sense of love, a greater self-awareness to our eternal quality, our eternal nature, and it also includes, as you say, in the fine print of that agreement, that we take responsibility for our own ignorance. We take responsibility for when we've ignored certain things, be it lifestyle habits that have accumulated and have caused us a physical ailment, or be it emotional toxicity that we've just stuffed away and tried to pretend like it wasn't there, but it didn't go anywhere. It was never resolved. Mm-hmm. What is happening at this time, what I'm experiencing personally, is that whatever it is that we've avoided, it's going to come up for us to address, for us to embrace, and for us to heal through or love through. You know, one example I'll give is in my own experience, you know, I've always had this compelling desire to be of service, you know, somehow, whether through my art and my music or through the awareness that I've gathered by the research and the study I've done around some of this information. And I've always wanted to share it with people, that kind of thing. And at the same time, a Hawaiian kahuna had shared a message with me and several of my friends some years ago that it's a noble thing to want to serve, and at the same time, it's really fundamental to serve yourself first. Now, that's not a selfishness statement. That's not a statement of selfishness. That's a statement of accepting responsibility for who you are, the condition you may find yourself in, and really getting on with the work of nurturing and loving yourself so that you can be all the more available to serve and be present with others. And I'll have to tell you, I mean, that's been a major stumbling block for me, because I've been compelled to serve in a variety of ways that I have fancied in my mind to be the right thing to do, and not to say that any of it wasn't right. At the same time, when it comes to the point of self-sacrifice, for example, to the point of where you gave the example of, you know, not being able to even afford the vessel for the water you've turned into wine. You know, I mean, I think this is something fundamentally that many people can relate to.
Yeah. I'm raising my hand right now.
Economic, financial flow, and the plenty as far as that's concerned. Now, what's interesting about that aspect of life in that realm of energy as it is expressed or translated as money is such that the system itself that navigates or governs, better said, that governs finance was designed to be very, very much the way it is. It was implicitly designed to have the haves and the have-nots. And there's some, we have to come to accept that that's been a part of that equation, is that many people in the world have this compelling desire to serve, and yet we also run up against the challenges relative to the financial world. We run up against the idea that, you know, the bottom line is not being met, then it was not going to be a successful enterprise or things like this. You know, but what I find with this also, though, is it's also causing people to evolve and return to a different way of managing energy, a different way of what are my needs, what are my wants and my desires? How am I meeting them out? You know, and is it something I do in isolation or is it something I do as part of a community? You know, because now there's so many layers with this as well, because then you have the dynamics of trust. You have the dynamics so many layers relative to money. Money is an interesting energy because it can really cause people to turn against each other.
Indeed.
Now that's not cool. That's
right,
not
right.
New paradigm. That's the hyper expression of the old paradigm.
Right.
You know?
Right,
and so we have to really be able to push the pause button and say, okay, is this right? I mean, I'm personally experiencing that in certain ways, and at the same time, you know, I also have to accept responsibility for that in my life, because I've been so open and wanting to do and serve and do this and that, and yet, and anybody out there as an artist can relate to this as well, because you really just want to share, you want to express, you want to give the gift of your art, but maybe you haven't done the due diligence around the business of your craft, and these are really interesting things. I mean, this awakening that you speak of and that we're talking about has to do with operating on all cylinders. In other words, we can't ignore the business component and just want to do the creative aspect. It requires us to find a way to make space for both and all that is required.
Indeed. So true.
You know, and that's
so
a part of the awakening that's happening too. And I think the more that we can have real conversations about that, that we can challenge even the system itself that dictates that there has to be a poverty class while there's this soaring corporate and wealth class at the expense of the majority of the world's people. See, this is what's happening. Part of these galactic cycles, part of the shift is a frequency shift. So we've been operating on this particular frequency that says time is money. Time is money. That's been the predominant frequency. Now, most people, they ignore their soul and they sacrifice their soul awareness to basically try to vibrate on the frequency of time as money. It's not fulfilling, though, because it's not the entire truth. You see, it's become a very narrow focus for the global paradigm, as it were, but it's not the entire truth. So what is happening here is there's a reordering, a reorientation to energy, a reorientation to currency or the flow of energy on the planet, across the planet. This is why you see the destabilization of these banks worldwide. Now, what's funny, well, not even funny, I don't know if it's the right word to use, but what is interesting...
It's not a ha-ha funny, it's an interestingly funny.
It's a peculiar funny.
Right.
What's interesting, what's peculiar is that the leadership of the world today would still try to use the same methods to remedy the issues that continue to prevail. So it's like the Einstein statement, and I'm not, you know, quoting it exactly literally, but the idea that we can't use the same thinking that got us into the mess that we're in right now.
Indeed, yes.
It requires a new thought, a new consciousness, a new frequency of perception. So all of this is working together. All of this is a part of the awakening. It's like a big, big stew that's being, you know, churned and combined or mixed, and all of these aspects are a part of it. And what will come out of it is going to be very interesting to see. None of us really knows.
Right.
None of us really knows what's going to come out of it. Now, that's where we have to trust our creative role that we're here to play. That however it does come out, we picture it being better than it's been. You see, we need to picture it being better than it's been.
Yes, indeed.
And that's the part that we play in the creative opportunity, because if we just succumb to the fear of, oh my goodness, the systems are crumbling and failing and things are going this way, it's a disaster, then we're actually energizing that, and it's called a self-fulfilled prophecy.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. So true. It's that part of that waking up. When you talk about what money does to some people, I have known of Unity churches, New Thought churches, that have gone to court because something didn't work out. I have known of different foundations that had to do with A Course in Miracles, you know, going to court over debating. So it's like sometimes you want to project that it's those people over there. And you talked about serving self first, an act of service to itself. We've got to be the change we want to see. There's a quote from Doreen Virtue that said, "The end of corruption begins with you. Little white lies aren't little energetically or spiritually. Honest words and actions have positive ripple effects that heal us all." You know, so in the awakening process, in the waking up process, we get in touch with the jealousy in us, the lack of trust in us, the hate, the anger, all the things that we've judged others about. And as you say, we get to be with it by healing it, by loving it. So when we can be compassionate about our own dis-ease, we can understand others while they're experiencing their own dis-ease. So we must really become the change we want to see. Now, there's a question about violence, which we'll ask when we come back. I want to take a quick break and we'll do Celestial Moment. And we're going to take some questions. And are you up for doing some galactic signature reading today?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So we're going to squeeze all of that in. I am so enjoying this conversation. Thank you, my brother, for who you are. I'm just sitting down here. I always tell people, it's like we're sitting in a cafe. We're just talking. We walked in and we met. Hey, what you doing over there, man? It's like, oh, yeah, I'm just talking about the galactic cycles. Oh, really? What's that? You know, I just really feel so fed. I'm grateful for who you are. I'm lighting up on the inside. I'm on fire. We're going to take a break. We're taking your questions, and we're going to come to Glenda after Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. And the number is 347-426-3346. We're going to go to Nahali's questions. She said, "Violence, what you mean?" Yes, 347-426-3346. We're supporting you to wake up, to be conscious, to be aware, to awake, wake up, and stay alert. Don't go back to sleep, because life depends on you staying awake. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage. Make that move.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo! Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke mind management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimke.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimke Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
Yes, indeed. We're activating your power to express yourself. You are here to express love, light, joy, peace, in spite of all that's going on, and because of what's going on. All that's going on that doesn't feel right, that doesn't feel good, is a reminder, shine your light, be the light, deliver your gift, you are it. Don't look for it out there. You be the change you want to see. My guest is McCoy Ray, and he's a world bridger, so he has a lot of links for you to reach him on the highway of life. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes after Celestial Moment. But it's time for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. And I think we want to welcome Celeste back. So here we go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Celeste back to the Ask a Life Coach at a Radio Show. Hey, Celeste, how are you doing?
I'm great.
Everybody's happy to have you back.
Wow. Wow.
Excitement in the house.
Mm-hmm. I can feel it, and I am getting some great soul food from the both of you. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Welcome
so
home.
Much.
You're
it's
welcome.
Nice to be back. It does feel like Resurrection Day. Hello, mm-hmm. McCurry. Welcome, my DC brother.
Thank you. Peace and love.
Peace and love to you. And hello, Life Coach Today, and all the beautiful people on the line and in the chat room. I know you're enjoying this conversation just like I am, so I'm going to get right to it. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that is showing up in our life right now. I come bearing a number gift. It's Tuesday, October 9th, 2012. Add the date and we get 2031. Add 2031 and the energy of the day equals 6. The number six is a loving, stable, and harmonious vibration ruled by Venus. The planet Venus is all about love. Six also belongs to an African Orisha by the name of Shango. He brings the thunder and music. Six is also the lover's card in tarot, which is connected to Gemini astrologically. Then we have the snake in medicine cards, shedding its skin to reveal new life through transmutation. Our sixth chakra is our third eye chakra and awakens with the beauty of inner awareness. We can see through the shadows and find love standing there. The sixth letter of the alphabet is F, and words like freedom, flight, and fright connect us to the magical power of six. Now today, we're going to put the spotlight on the Six of Swords from the perspective of Mother Peace Tarot. Now, when you marry the expansiveness of six with the power of thought, you connect your head to your heart. The element for the suit of swords is air, and that also happens to be the element for the heart chakra. None of us can live without air. Air is love flowing unconditionally to all humanity. So how fitting to have six women flying in the sky over a grove of trees in a Six of Swords card. These women are joined by roses, which represent passion and healing for the heart, and knives, which connect us with the sharpness of living our own truth. They have uttered a sacred yes and decided not to be bound by their painful experiences. Instead, they make a choice to become the observer. From this vantage point, they have an all-encompassing view of their soul story. They receive the lessons of the sweetness and the bitterness in life and are using that knowledge to rise higher, to get a different perspective. We learn from them to trust love and see as one. We look out with vision in heart and mind and call it all good. We have choices to make from these tall heights. We can be amazed or we can be afraid, but it doesn't hurt to enjoy the view. Lift the level of your consciousness and know that all is well. And that's the story of six, told through the Six of Swords and Mother Peace Tarot. I'll see you on Wednesday, around 1, for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, my sister. I appreciate you, the Spider Woman. Weaving it all together.
Thank you. Now I'm going to get back to work.
Okay, get back to work. All right. All right. Thanks, Celeste. Life is good. It's getting better. Let's do some questions. We've got quite a lot of questions and callers. We've got two callers, and then we're going to get to them. So, McCoy Ray, actually, I want to do this first, then I go to Nahali's question. I had an 11-year-old yesterday do some research on the Mayan calendar, and she had an assignment at work, and she wanted to know how she can help me with the my radio show. Her name is Jolie. And so she has some questions for you, four questions, so quick fire answer, so your time starts now. So she says, the Mayan calendar are a method of measuring what? I got the answer here, so I get it wrong.
Cycles.
Say it again?
Cycles.
Cycles, exactly. She said time, but yes, cycles. And then the next question is, when did the calendar begin?
Depends on which one we're talking about, but the predominant one is 3113 BC.
Yep, she got it. Answer 31. She had 3113 BC / 3114 BC. Okay, the next question is,
yep.
When did the Mayan believe the world would end?
That's an interesting. Is this a trick question?
Well, remember she did the research online, and she's 11. See, you bring an expensive love conversation to it. So just remember that it's not a trick question.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll say winter solstice 2012. Old world, as it were, will end.
There you go. Great. Now, there's this other one. I've never even heard this word. She said the Yupik, Y-U-P-I-K, shamans of Siberia thought when a certain kind of animal sings a certain kind of song, what would happen? I'm kind of changing the question a little bit here.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. When a certain kind of animal sings a certain kind of song.
Mm-hmm. They believe something is happening.
Right. When a certain kind of animal. from the Siberia, huh? That's a good question. I don't know. I'm compelled to say some sort of bird, but I don't know.
Okay. She'd probably be excited that she stumped me
on that one. That's good.
Yes. She got the answer here. The information she found said the Yupik shamans of Siberia believed that when whales sang sadly, it meant the end of the world was coming. So that means the end of the world must be happening quite regularly if whales are singing sad songs. And I'm sure they don't sing it one time. So there you go. Actually, 3 out of 4.
Wow.
You're great. You're an expert.
What the hell? Thanks. And she's more expert than I. That's great.
Now, let's go to this question and then take some calls. Nahali's listening online. She says, how are we moving away from violence? I don't see it. Look at the Middle East, China, parts of America. I mean, what do you mean we're moving away from violence? Can you explain, Mahore? I forgot your name.
My statement to that end was really more to do with the violence that we actually foster within ourselves. And we're experiencing a frequency shift such that it's going to cause us to begin to make new choices about ourselves and how we relate with the world at large. Of course, there's violence around the world. It would appear to be cresting or increasing at this time, and it's going to appear that way before the significant shift. And that's what we're actually moving toward. Now, let's understand the establishing of a new paradigm is not going to be at the snap of a finger. This may take generations to work out, but things are certainly moving in a new direction, unlike what we've known before. Not to say that I'm a utopian thinker either. Conflict is a part of life. However, how we address conflict with weapons and things that promote and cause destruction, that is something that generations to come are not going to accept in the same way that we've succumbed to it. And that's a part of the frequency shift.
Indeed, indeed. And, you know, I use the analogy of a woman giving birth. You know, there's a time when the woman is pregnant, and it's like, oh, that's beautiful, what do you do? And then when the birthing is happening, sometimes it doesn't look too good. And when the child comes out, there's a celebration. And in violence, you know, these people who are outraged, who are expressing their frustration, their anger, there was a time they were quiet. And it's not just those people. It's all of us. There are things that we've been quiet about. Now, energetically, we're speaking out. We express it. Now, we all have a definition of, you know, what violence is, and violence is never right. It's, you know, we say that, but we use that to resolve global conflicts. We say violence is never the right thing to resolve, but that's what we do. But for me, I feel like, you know, we're seeing things happening. There's an eruption. There's a rising to the top of what was once unconscious, and people are speaking up saying we want life to be different. Now, here's an enlightened way of looking at violence. Can you look at violence and not judge it? If you judge it as bad, then you're stuck. Can you look at it and say, oh, it's part of the cleansing? It's part of the cleansing. How, as Mukure just said, it's how we deal with the violence. If your toe is hurting, if your arm is hurting, if you have a headache, you're not going to chop it off. You're not going to blow it up this night. Let me get rid of my head. It's hurting. No, you might find a painkiller. You might want to go meditate. You might do some deep breathing. You take a weird approach. You become aware. It's like, okay, what is this telling me? What do I need to pay attention to? So rather than focus on the violence, why is it happening? What are the people saying? What are they asking for? That's what we need to ask ourselves, and we can then be part of the change. And part of it. It's happening already.
Yeah,
let's go to Glenda. Glenda has a question, a comment about waking up. What time did you wake up today, Glenda?
Greetings, Ade and Macquarie.
Okay, we need you to get closer to us now. We need to come in the circle. I think you may have a speakerphone or come closer.
Wait a minute.
I want to feel your body temperature.
Okay, now I'm right here. Yes.
Oh, you feel warm. Yeah, like sit right here. Come here.
I have two things. I wanted to comment on it seems to me like a few weeks ago I did actually wake up. Like, I thought I was awake, but I remember consciously saying, wow, I'm really awake now. I really see. Mm. And what came to me is I really saw how some of the longstanding obstacles in my life were as a result of thoughts or subconscious thoughts and beliefs that I had. It's like, boom, I woke up and was able to now look at them as conquerable. I've been telling people this last quarter is like liftoff, you know, because I know I personally feel different, that I'm working on things that has literally taken a lifetime, some of them, to come to this point. So that was my comment. And I also want to say to Makai Ray, if he has any galactic messages or whispering.
The readings?
You know,
okay.
Me. Yeah, he can, give me a little signpost or a hint along
right,
the way.
He needs your date of birth.
Oh, 7/18/1960.
I feel like playing that Jeopardy music. I know, right? 7/18/1960, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is McCory there?
I don't know. I'm wondering.
He's rather quiet. he's gone into a galactic meditation.
Right.
Let's see. Wait, sorry, McCory. What the flip happened? I don't know how you got muted.
Did you put him on mute,
Ade? I don't know how that happened. McCory, you've been muted, so everything you've been saying will not be used against you because we didn't hear it. Okay, McCory. Welcome back.
Do you hear me now? Thank you.
Yeah. I can hear you, too.
Okay, good. So I was just going to share with you, Glenda, is it?
Yeah.
That this year you are actually completing a 52-year cycle. You're actually, according to the galactic cycle, it's as if you've been renewed or just freshly out the womb. Because according to their patterning, it operates on a solar galactic lunar 52-year cycle. Mm-hmm. And your energy, your signature shows up as the blue crystal monkey, according to this particular lens, which is a galactic lens, the blue crystal monkey, which has everything to do with the divine child. It has to do with the expression of your inner knowing, your innocence, playfulness is something that's really up for you this lifetime, not just this year. But because you've completed this 52-year cycle now, playfulness is really up for you. But then also how you can extend your playfulness in cooperation and collaboration with others.
Okay.
There's something to be fulfilled there. And basically the code for you says, I dedicate in order to play, universalizing illusion. I seal the process of magic with the crystal tone of cooperation. I am guided by the power of abundance. Mm. I am a galactic activation portal. So prosperity, loving kindness, all these higher qualities, you can invoke them to enter you. So it says, I'm a galactic activation portal, enter me. So again, the idea here for you is to allow yourself to play where you've taken things maybe too seriously in the past. You're being asked to release and allow things to come into being. Don't force or be rigid in the way you approach it. Be flexible, be fluid, and understand that the illusion of this world is here for you to play with. It's as if this world is a toy, because this world is not the reality of realities. It's merely one expression amongst a myriad expressions. So the idea is, this is not the all of it, and as such, it's not to be taken too seriously. seriously. Of course, mm-hmm. you know when to be serious and when not, but make sure you allow time for that divine child within to express herself
okay.
and play in the field of illusion.
I got it. Thank you. I've been feeling that. That's great.
Yes, definitely. And congratulations on the fulfillment of a cycle. That's a major, major thing. I'll point this out because according to the Maya, essentially a 5,200 year cycle, approximately, we'll say a 5,200 tune cycle is what it's called, has been completed as of this winter solstice. So you actually, as of your birthday this year, are in sync in a fractal way, meaning if the Earth is experiencing the completion of a 5,200 year cycle and you're experiencing the completion of a 52 year cycle, you have a direct relationship with that. And that's a part of why you're indicating this awakening and this recognition that you're having now. It's in sync with the Earth as the Earth is awakening as well.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
Stay tuned to the Earth is what I
mean. I definitely am feeling it. I thank you so much.
Have
a great day, both of you. Thank you.
Yes,
likewise,
indeed. Good
likewise.
Morning. Welcome. yes, let's do an email question, and then we'll go to Jay. The email question is, ask him about the 12 signs of awakening, and how does it correlate with December 21st, 2012? And how do we deal with this shift in our bodies and in our minds and our spirits? So the correlation between the 12 signs of awakening and how does it correlate with December 21st, 2012?
Well, I have to admit I'm not exactly familiar with what the 12 signs of awakening are. I'm not sure what the origin of that may be, but I could speak more to the question of how it affects or takes place in the body, the mind, and the spirit, because that's definitely a universal piece to speak to. It's as if we want to be really mindful to release resentments. I may have spoken to this a couple of weeks ago when I was on the show, but we want to be as clear as we can in order for the energy that's coming into the planet from the core of the galaxy to be able to move through us unimpeded. The objective of the human is to help ground this charge, both mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically, to anchor and connect this force, this charge of energy, this current of energy, to the core of the Earth. Because as things are being activated and awakened, as I indicated earlier, Earth is experiencing its own awakening, and it's also happening in relationship with us. So there are those of us who are experiencing this in our own way, and those of us who are consciously doing so, like the person with the email, that the wisdom is to connect to the Earth so as to be a conduit for the energy. Now, in order for this energy to move through unimpeded, we have to be very mindful to do our own measure of emotional detoxification.
Mm-hmm.
We want to really look into those aspects of our experiences and those corners of the mind to come to terms with those things that are not real or those resentments that maybe we've held on to due to something from our past or some other person that we perceive as having wronged us or something to that effect. We want to really practice forgiveness to be clear for this energy to move through. And it really is a matter of sincere forgiveness and being able to perceive trauma as our teacher, to being able to say thank you for the blessing of whatever it may be that we've experienced that may have been an obstacle up until now, and we want to be again to allow it to be released. We want to release these other people from our field of perception where I perceive, well, this person did this to me, you know, 20 years ago, and I'm still holding a resentment around that. Can I genuinely release it and let it go and allow this energy of love to consume me so that as this energy from the galactic core hits this Earth, when that alignment happens on December 21st, what is happening is a great force of energy, a wave of energy is going to be moving through all that we know. It's going to be moving through, and that is what also triggers the frequency shift. So we want to be as clear as possible. That goes for the mind, the spirit, the emotions, as well as the body.
Yeah.
I would also say, and I need to really heed my own advice in this case, but to drink as much water as possible. let water be the thing we drink more than anything else. Any other, you know, and obviously the more that we can move away from processed foods, the better. And any of these things, so that the vessel can be as clear as possible. So if that means that we need to move into deeper levels of inner cleansing, that's a good thing. It's okay. Do that, you know, and that would be my response to that question. I would like to know about those 12 stages of awakening.
Well, Celeste is going to call in and clarify. She sent me an article that I can't read right now. But let's go to Jay and then Jay's calling from Canada. Hello, Jay. Aloha. How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. How about yourself?
Wonderful. What's your question or comment?
My question about 2012, I just wonder, are we in it right now? Because I just feel that the solar energies are really giving us the shake on it. And I just wondered from that, from what I'm just saying, is that do we have, like, free will and choice to actually not work on our stuff? Because it's an interesting question right now, because I find that the stuff that I thought I worked on and didn't avoid it, you know, it's coming up for me right now. And I've talked to a lot of people on this. And it seems like... also, the planetary alignments for each of the different signs, if you go astrology-wise, is kicking it up a notch, too. So I just wondered about the planetary aspects of change right now having influence on us right now.
Well, I would certainly say it's very much a transition. It's something that's been working on us increasingly for the past 30 years. And it's something we're moving into. Now we're coming to this apex, we're coming to this omega point of this transition. So along the way, we've been experiencing various degrees of getting it and then not getting it, and getting it again and then possibly not getting it again, meaning that awareness. And what I'm finding, as you're saying as well, that there are certain things that I thought I had accomplished in terms of my own inner work, but I'm being shown very clearly that I have more work to do. And I think that that's a universal experience for those who are striving to be conscious in this transitional process. It is something that's going to happen to and through us, whether we are necessarily willing or not. I mean, there is the free will factor. We can certainly choose to either engage more consciously or not. And at the same time, there's something about this that goes beyond our free will because of the galactic impact and the fact that here we are on this planet called Earth, and we depend upon the Earth for a variety of things. I mean, the school that it is, we did choose to be here at this time for this so-called quickening and evolutionary process. So I've been definitely noticing the increase and the higher impact within energetically, and certainly we can look at the world stage and we can see the impact being had as well. So, you know, we're certainly in it. We're in 2012, and we're really, really accelerating more and more rapidly toward this omega point, which is essentially sort of like a catalyzation point, a threshold into a new beginning.
Right.
So it's quite an interesting time, and it's hard to just say it's this or that, but I certainly recognize that it's a major transition that has been revving up for several years now, leading to where we are.
And I also think, Mukwere, you know, I want to hear what you think about it, but I think also what we want to do, especially when we talk about what I would call Western spirituality, we need to be careful when we think we should have been over something by now. And if there's something that we perceive we've dealt with before comes up, it's part of what Makure just said, the emotional detoxification. So you were at a different level of awareness before when you dealt with it. Now you've expanded in consciousness, so it gives you more spiritual strength, if you will, to deal with it. And I think rather than saying, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm still dealing with this, how about just recognizing this is what's happening? I mean, you know, and be more compassionate with what is coming up and saying if it's showing up, it needs to be released, and I just lovingly release it.
And I think also, if I could add to that, one thing that is that was told to me years ago that I've only really began to recall it being told to me is that it's not just the physical embodiment of who I am that is showing up for the shift. Mm-hmm. It's also my lineage.
Yes.
And so as I think that I've achieved a particular degree of my own restoration, that may be true. And at the same time, we are not here in isolation. We're here as a result of a lineage that also is actually tumbling forth to meet us in this now time to also be evolved with us. So some of what comes up for us then is we feel is residual or we feel is undone or not addressed could also relate to that aspect of that genetic tumbling, that lineage coming forward to meet us in the now as we cross this threshold, because everybody wants to make the transition. You see, we're here as a result of karma. We're also here as a result of our bloodline. So there's a lot to do with that happening as well. So that's another dimension we have to consider when we think we've done the work to achieve a particular level of accomplishment and then we feel like maybe we're backsliding or not as accomplished as we thought we were. There could be the reality that it's not just us that's being healed. It's also our lineage being healed through us. We just happen to be the embodiment, the representative for a lineage that goes back to source. You see?
Yes.
And so this is one of those times where it's not just us in isolation, it's us and all of those who are responsible for us being here now.
And so it is. And so it is. Thank you, Jay, for your question. Thank you. I'm thinking of you, Mukore, talking about us being a conductor. We're being a conductor for love to keep everything moving and flowing. 347-426-3346. Let's go to Celeste. Celeste wants to enlighten us a little about the 12 signs of spiritual awakening. Celeste, you're alive. Whoop, yes, you are. Okay.
and alive. Thank goodness.
I know, right?
I've been seeing this everywhere, you know. It's by, it's an article. You can Google it. If you Google 12 signs of spiritual awakening, it will pop up all over the place.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
Yeah, it's Jeffrey and Hope and Tobias. Mm-hmm. But the first thing, and Ade, I have to say this, you know, when you're talking about sometimes when you awaken, it's not going to be la-la. Some of the symptoms that they're talking about could be disturbing. So not having that knowledge and not understanding what Makore is bringing through with his piece and just letting us all know that we're going through a shift, our bodies are going to respond to these higher frequencies in a different way. So the first thing, body aches and pains, especially in the neck, shoulder, and back. Number two, feeling a deep inner sadness for no apparent reason. Three, crying for no apparent reason. Four, sudden change in job or career. Five, withdrawal from family relationships. And they actually make a comment about how our family bonds are connected by karma. So as we start to grow, there might be some karmic attachments that are pulled apart. Unusual sleep patterns, especially waking up between 2 and 4 a.m., intense dreams. Physical disorientation, that's 8. Increased self-talk. Number 10 is feelings of loneliness, even when you're in the company of others. They have a comment here that as light workers, you are walking a sacred and lonely path. 11, loss of passion. 12, a deep longing to go home.
Mm.
Those are intense.
Yes.
And just to get to that next
That sounds like a cosmic 12-step program, the cosmic 12.
I know that's right.
I know. And guess what your gift is? I can't just leave you guys with those symptoms. The gift is once you walk through that, you will get to, let's see, the path you're walking right now provides the experiences to enable you to become a teacher of the new divine human. As lonely and dark as your journey can be at times, remember that you are never alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, wanted to share that with you guys.
Thank you, Celeste.
Thank you, Celeste.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We've got another question. Let's go to another question. So much in that is coming up for me. And, spiritual growth and transformation and waking up can be messy. There's a messy aspect to it. That's why sometimes people say, I'm not into that. You know, I just numb myself to death. Because it can be messy. It can be messy. And we think spirituality is not messy. Because it's about, I love what Mukuri said, emotional detoxification. You got to clean up the mess, clean out. So another question by Cheryl. She said, what happens to us physically when we are trying to adjust to a higher frequency, such as this shift? What happens to us physically when we are trying to adjust to a higher frequency, such as the shift? I guess Celeste just told us. But anyway, I want to hear your thoughts, Mukuri.
Well, two things. I want to address that question, but you said something really important. Is there is a tendency, and I know myself, I've had this tendency to want to numb myself to the feelings, to the symptoms, as it were, the 12 signs of spiritual awakening. And so we numb ourselves do with a variety of things. Controlled substances, media is a way to numb yourself, all sorts of things, whatever we would use. But one thing I'm also appreciating more and more is being present with the presence, being present with those symptoms as I'm moving through them. One thing I've even done lately is reflect upon maybe childhood pictures of myself to recall qualities that are inherent that I know are a part of me that will help me to move through some of these more challenging episodes that are universal, and everything described in those 12 signs is certainly something I can relate to. Now, the physical form, to speak to the question that you just posed from the listener, one thing that I find we can expect is that the things that used to excite or move us in that way before don't have the same effect. The things that we're drawn to begin to change. And that could be elements, that could be types of food, that could be particular people. As we move into this frequency shift, we may find ourselves feeling more isolated because vibrationally we just don't want to. We want to be more clear or be in a different vibrational state. Now, for myself, I've experienced that as really limiting the types of music I listen to. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to the radio. I don't listen to things of a particular frequency like I may have 10 years ago or something. I tune into things that I'm only drawn and inclined to listen to things that I feel are actually uplifting me in terms of just the vibration itself. That may be an indicator. And that's a physical reality because the sound vibration affects our ears, which affects our nervous system and our thinking and all of that. And we may, even as those 12 steps indicated, those 12 signs, I mean, the discomfort in the body as we're moving through these energies, we may feel tension, we may feel stiffness, in the body. And I know that that is something that I've definitely experienced increasingly, and it's good to hear that as described as one of the signs of spiritual awakening as compared with maybe a sign of aging. So,
I like to
consider that that's a sign of spiritual awakening. Then. Again, I think in terms of the spirit, the physical changes, what we can expect is, a variety of changes. I can't say it's just this or that. I think that has to do with each individual as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're noticing changes, I noticed that my appetite changes. So my eating habits change as a result of what I'm experiencing.
Yes.
And those things which I'm drawn to or not. I prefer quieter environments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's something for me, I think, that I've experienced. So, again, to answer the question specifically, I think everybody's going to experience a different physical expression of these things. But, that's a little bit of what I've been experiencing.
Yeah, I understand, and we can all add something to that conversation. McCoy, can you? I want to play a clip by Reverend Deborah Johnson, and can you fill a little, maybe another 5-10 minutes? Because I want you to explain the galactic signature, and so people can have an understanding of that. Are you able to stay with us? Okay, great.
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. We are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 2. No, Monday to Wednesday. I'm getting used to my new time as well, as you can tell. That was going from memory. Let me be present. We are here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern, and all the shows are archived. You can subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. Just type in Life Conversations, not radio, just Life Conversations. Now, McCorpe was sharing something with Jay here, and this is another way where Reverend Deborah Johnson says it, and I don't think we can hear this enough. We need to be reminded that we are connected to those who came before us and those who are going to come after us. We're all part of this unbroken chain of life. Here it is, Reverend Deborah Johnson.
I typically get a letter on my birthday. And for the last several years, the salutation has not been happy birthday, but happy begotten.
Mm.
We have a tendency when we think of a birthday as our life beginning the moment that we come out of the womb. If our life were a timeline, the moment out of the womb becomes T0. And we don't even give our mothers credit for the 9 months that we were in utero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a second before coming out of the womb, it's as though our life did not exist. And the reality is that it is not simply that our life started that moment out of the womb. We are part of an unbroken chain of life since the beginning of humanity. An unbroken chain of life. If any one of our great, 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 great grandmothers hadn't been alive, we wouldn't be here. And they had to live long enough to have children. So we are the descendant of survivors. So it isn't simply that, well, this is my birthday, and this is the beginning of my life. No, we are the next link in the whole evolutionary unfoldment of humanity. That is so extraordinary when we get out of the egocentric way of looking at it. So just like we carry physical DNA, we carry this soul remembrance, the whole consciousness from the beginning, the wisdom, the understanding, the creativity, the love, the power, the passion, all of that. So when a child is born, we should celebrate the fact that this beautiful essence has come here not as a blank slate, but as a wonderful place of convergence, of energy and awareness that wants to express itself in this time zone.
You are part of an unbroken chain of life. Hooray. Anything you want to add to that before we talk about a galactic signature?
Well, I mean, I think she said it very clearly. You know?
Yeah, it is.
I think that was beautiful.
Yeah, if you don't understand that, then we may have to take you to Spirituality 001. We won't put you in 101. It's like, there is the mind. And, well, actually, that may be a little bit too complicated.
You are alive.
You are here. Feel your body. Touch your body. Yes. And, you know, if we remember that, we realize that this is ongoing. We're not separated, even though we've been taught or we've convinced ourselves that we are. It's about doing the inner work. And as we said earlier, the spiritual growth sometimes is messy. And I always say here jokingly, but I mean it seriously. Until we embrace the mess, we won't get the message. And if you don't get the message, you can't teach. You can't be the messenger of the truth. So we run from the mess sometimes. Hopefully, we want to meditate so we don't have to deal with the mess. No, the mess is the answer. The mess is the message is in the mess. And then you get the message and you're set free. My brother, real quick, let's talk about the galactic signature. We all have it. And what does it mean, and how can we implement, how can we integrate that in our lives? And I want to throw this in with that one question, because I've just let you do your thing. It's funny because you did Glenda's galactic signature. And she's what monkey? She's some kind of monkey again.
She's the blue crystal monkey.
Yeah, blue crystal monkey. That's the kind of monkey she is. But in mine, which is blue crystal storm, the signs that I have, there's one of the symbols of the blue crystal monkey. So, and I don't want to overwhelm people with this words, but I'll let you explain what it is and explain to me, please, why I have two different signs.
Well, essentially, everybody has a galactic signature or the sign of their nature. So if we just heard Reverend Deborah speak about how we're part of this continuum, this unbroken chain since the foundations of life, another aspect of this reality is that the spark who we are comes in to animate and connect with the biological process so as to give animation and that spark of life force energy into this, what would otherwise be inanimate physical form. So as that spark is nurtured and matured through the process to be able to be birthed, if you will, at the point of its being activated with the first breath, there's understood to be this impression, this imprint of galactic energy that codes that particular incarnate soul's purpose in that particular lifetime. So that is what a signature actually expresses, is essentially the coding from the galactic arrangement at that moment, on that particular day. It indicates then the purpose and destiny of that embodied soul. Okay. And so when we speak of that, then the mechanics of a signature include both the solar seal, okay, which in your case will be the blue storm. That's the seal.
Right.
And it includes the tone, which happens to be in your case the crystal tone number 12. So you show up then as a blue crystal storm, very specifically.
Right.
So in that, because what the tone and the seal are describing are qualities, creation qualities. So they're relating that your creation quality is perceived in this lens, this galactic lens, to have this particular purpose and arrangement, meaningful purpose. Now, it speaks from a fourth dimensional perspective, and the fourth dimension is understood to be the dimension of time itself. So time, not in the sense of a wall clock, tick-tock, mechanized, organized method of you know, that, but more so from the synchronic or synchronizing factor of the universe, that there's timing to things such as the gestation in the womb or the seasons that we experience annually, that these are all coordinated by the fourth dimension of time, which governs timing and synchronicity. So by understanding what a person's signature is, then they've now received a lens through which to look upon their life forward and backward and determine the qualities that are predominant at any point in their life.
Yes.
Essentially on an annual basis. Now, as I shared with Glenda earlier, she's actually at the point of the completion of a 52-year cycle, which means she's exactly age zero.
She's a baby again. So,
She woke up as a baby, you see?
Brand new.
So, brand new. And now she has the ability to take all of that 52 years of accumulated experience and look back now in her life through this lens of renewal.
Mm-hmm.
See, if we look at it just as the way we consider age of birth, you know, and death, and this point A to point B, it's a very terminal perspective. But in the fourth dimensional lens, this galactic signature lens, you're actually seeing things through a spiral, just like the galaxy, because we live in a spiral galaxy.
Yes.
If you've ever seen images of Andromeda Galaxy or other images on Hubble telescope sites and NASA sites online, you'll see different galaxies, and many of them formed as spiral shapes. So that's how we can begin to understand this timing lens, this format that is described as galactic signatures, that everybody has their 52-year spiral cycle. And once you complete that 52-year cycle, you begin again at the beginning. But it's not really the beginning, because now you're able to take this wisdom you've accumulated and begin again through the lens of a child, through that innocence. So now you're in your early 50s. It's not like you're going to age in 50, so on and so forth, but you're actually now back at the beginning, even though your physical form may have been here for this 50-some-odd years.
Yes.
It gives the mind a reorientation to the renewal that life experiences, just like the planet Earth going through its own renewal now in a fractal sense, the bigger picture, that 5,200-year renewal. So this indicates nature's timing. Now, the time is money paradigm, the Gregorian calendar paradigm, where I say I'm April 14th, 1970-something. You know, I say that's my birthday. That doesn't afford me the same perspective. It doesn't afford me the same lens of synchronicity and timing like nature's timing. That's why in the fourth dimensional perspective, we say time is art. Time is an expression of your creative potential. What are you creating today? Not time is money. How are you being exploited today and just simply used for your market value or commodification? That's old paradigm. The new paradigm has everything to do with empowering your core creativity, with expressing from your core gifts, talents, and skills. That this is what you bring to help transform the world.
And so this is
what the universe is calling for. This is what the universe wants to experience of you.
Yes, the universe is calling for it. You're a rainbow child. It's time to tap in. I dedicate in order to catalyze universalizing energy. I seal the matrix of self-generation with the crystal tone of cooperation. I love working with people, sharing. It just excites me.
Yeah.
I am guided by the power of magic. I will transform you. You come near me. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, for you, what's interesting is Glenda shows up as your guide power. She shows up according to your arrangement as your guide power. So that's something to note. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
in that
yes.
sense.
Indeed. Yeah. I knew we were connected. She knows it too. My brother. Oh, for listeners who are listening to the archive or not in the chat room, if you want to find out you want to check it out, go to I don't know if you have another website, but the one I use, Macquarie, is 13moon.com. Do you have another one that's best that people can go to?
Well, they can go to Law of Time, lawoftime.org.
Okay.
Law of Time, lawoftime.org.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you so much. Oh, real quick, give your email address. I know you got like 10,000
yes.
websites.
I was
going to
say, if anybody's interested in actually doing a signature reading, they can email me at 13tones20tribes@gmail.com. That's 13tones. 20tribes@gmail.com. 13tones20tribes@gmail.com. And I'm happy to share more information and even arrange to do a reading with you if you're interested in exploring this anymore.
Thank you, my brother. I love you. I appreciate you. And I thank you for
thank
sharing
you,
your time
likewise.
And love with us. Peace and blessings.
In Lakesh.
Indeed, in Lakesh. Yes, indeed. Man, I sound good because he's. caffeine.
It flows through you, it flows through me. Life from the sun is who we be.
McQuarrie reminding us to tap in and don't be afraid. Love is the current of energy. You're an artist, you get to create your own life. I love you, I bless you, I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. Be love. It's the essence of who you are. You know it. Be true to yourself because the world needs you to. And allow the love to flow in and out of you. Be loved. Allow others to love you. Allow others to support you. Allow others to give to you. I'm out of here. I'll see you tomorrow flying solo, 12 p.m. Eastern. Be there or be wherever you want to be. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings.
Love is occurring right now. Oh, love is occurring, just energy. Get tapped in. Oh, love is occurring, just energy. Come on, tap into this frequency. It flows through you and it flows through me. Light from the sun is who we be. There's this feeling within, I just got tapped in. It's been there all the while, patiently waiting for me to open up my heart and lighten up my load. I'm getting grounded in earth, so my soul don't yes, love is a current of energy. Come on, tap into this frequency. It flows through you and it flows through me.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.